In Pennsylvania, incarcerated people with mental illness can wait months for beds in state psychiatric hospitals. And I want to talk to you about Elle, who is one of them. We're using that name to protect her identity, but Elle was diagnosed as schizophrenic, and according to her family, she was doing well with the help of medication.
She had her own apartment, live in the Bronx. She's always doing some sort of activist thing or trying to work with young people. And, you know, she wanted to start this youth program and all this different thing. She has a lot of ideas.
That's Elle's mother, Anne. But in the summer of 2017, Elle stopped taking her medication. And she began experiencing delusions and ultimately suffered a psychotic break. Then she disappeared. It was weeks before Elle's sister-in-law came across her mugshot following an arrest in Pennsylvania.
And she's like, oh my gosh, Anne, look, I found her. I was like, you found her? She's like, yes, I found her on the internet. I was like, oh, okay, where is she? Oh, she's in Bucks County.
Elle had been picked up by police in September 2017 and was accused of stealing cash out of the register of a nearby gas station. She ended up spending more than a year in jail before being placed in a hospital to get the treatment she needed. Christy Thompson is a staff writer at the Marshall Project who's been tracking Elle's story, and she joined me to explain what happened next and just how common cases like this are.
After that happened, she got locked up. Her mother traveled to Pennsylvania to try and pay her bail, get her out, and bring her home to New York and get her into treatment, which is something the family had done a few times and had worked pretty well. But this time, when her mom showed up at the jail, Elle was still in the middle of these delusions and thought that her mother wasn't her mother, thought her mother had died, and refused to leave the jail with her. So her mom leaves, and later that night, we don't exactly know what happened, but Elle was released from the jail. Her bail had been paid. She was legally free. And so she leaves the jail and a couple days later gets rearrested. They find her sleeping in an unlocked car in an unlocked garage. So she gets rearrested, ends up back in jail, this time with what seem like much more serious charges, burglary, breaking and entering, things like that. And this time, Elle's in the jail and a judge orders her to have what's called a competency evaluation. That means a mental health professional is going to come and say, is this person stable enough to understand what's happening, understand what the charges are, be able to help their attorney in their own defense explain what really happened. And that evaluation finally happened and they found that Elle was not competent to stand trial, that she needed to go to a psychiatric hospital to get some medication, get some treatment, get some education on the court system so that she could proceed with her case. But what happened to Elle and what's happened to so many people in Pennsylvania is that there are so few beds for people to have that kind of treatment that she ended up waiting 8 months in the Bucks County Jail just to get into that hospital. So her case was just stuck. She was just stuck in the Bucks County Jail, not serving a criminal sentence, but just waiting for a bed to open up in this hospital so she could move on with her case and with her life.
What was Elle's experience while she was in the county jail for those 8 months? Was she being treated at all for her schizophrenia?
It seems like Elle's family, what they gleaned from their few interactions with her and from interactions with jail staff, is that she wasn't necessarily getting the right medication. She was still really having some deep delusions, and that she also ended up in solitary confinement for a while because of her erratic behavior. And what we know talking to experts is that's not uncommon. You know, a lot of people say that jail is actually one of the worst places for someone in the middle of a mental health crisis to be because it's not a therapeutic environment. I mean, even jail healthcare providers will tell you that. So that's not uncommon for people in her situation to have that kind of experience.
Is there a national picture here in terms of the length of time that it would take someone like Elle to get out of a jail and actually get treatment?
You know, there's been this widespread deinstitutionalization where people were downsizing these psychiatric hospitals. That means you have more people with mental illness who are actually ending up in our criminal justice system. But then the criminal justice system is relying on those same psychiatric hospitals to move forward with these criminal cases. So it's kind of a sticky situation. We don't have great numbers on nationwide how often this is happening, but we found at least 7 other states that have been sued in recent years over these really long wait times. And in Pennsylvania, they were sued in 2015 by the ACLU. It's been a really difficult problem to solve ever since then. At the peak of the crisis in that state, people were waiting on average over a year to get into the Norristown State Hospital, which is where Elle was treated, and on average 8 months statewide to get into a forensic bed. So in the last couple months, those numbers have dropped a lot. that. It's closer to about 3 weeks now. But the advocates and attorneys, the folks at the ACLU are saying, you know, that's still too long. This should be a week or less. These people should not be spending long chunks of time in a jail setting when a court has decided that what they need is a hospital bed.
Do we know if there are efforts also nationally to sort of do what is being done in Pennsylvania, shortening these times?
Absolutely. And I think what people are doing now is looking for creative solutions that aren't just spending millions of dollars to build more hospital beds. That's definitely one part of it. But what the folks we spoke to who are trying to fix this problem said, it's also about figuring out ways to keep people like Elle out of the justice system entirely so that she's not even getting into this funnel in which she is stuck on one of these really long wait times.
Do we know where Elle is today and what's ended up happening to her?
So Elle is back in the Bucks County Jail. She finally got into what's called competency restoration treatment. And after she stabilized, they decided she was competent to stand trial. She just appeared in court in May, where they threw out a couple of charges. There's still one standing against her. Her trial date is set for October. Now, what I talked to the DA in her case, and what they're hoping can happen is that they can find some inpatient mental health treatment for Elle. And if they can get that all set up, then the DA said that they would consider dismissing the charges. But that's unclear if that's going to happen. And so what I think's really interesting about her case is that this August, it will be 2 years since this whole saga began for Elle. And that is a lot longer than she would have served if she had just pled guilty or, you know, been sentenced for these crimes that she's facing. And that's not uncommon. We've heard from a lot of attorneys and advocates and family members that that's what happens, that because of these long wait times, people who are facing really low level charges are actually spending longer in jail just waiting to get into a hospital bed than they would have if they'd served their time.
It would be crazy to say it might behoove them to plead guilty, but are they incentivized to do that so that they can get out sooner?
That's a really tricky question that public defenders and defense attorneys are facing, because for them, I mean, it's really difficult to work with a client who is in the middle of a mental health crisis and not really ethical or fair to push it forward if you know that's what's going on. That said, if you're in a community like Bucks County, you're also aware that if you raise competency concerns, you might be pushing your client into being stuck in that jail for many months. You know, my colleague Layla Miller talked to a lot of public defenders and defense attorneys who are having to make that decision, and it's a really uncomfortable choice that I think they feel like they shouldn't have to be making.
Christy Thompson is a staff writer at the Marshall Project. Christy, thank you.
Thank you so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.